Hallelujah. So let us begin in the Word of God in Revelation chapter 22, and this will be the fifth message on spiritual understanding, understanding spiritual things, the meaning of what spiritual things mean, what some of these words mean. And it will help us with the understanding as we read the Word of God, especially as we read the prophetic word, book of Revelation, and everywhere else in the Word of God, we understand what God is saying to us. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 22, the first two verses. And what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking about trees, grass, rivers, and waters. You remember the last time we talked, and that was several weeks ago, we were talking about the sun, moon, stars, heaven, earth, and sea. But this time, we'll go to these things here. Trees, grass, rivers, and waters. Now, there's a very important verse here in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, those first two verses, and let's read them. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the street, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And I'm going to just go ahead and read the next verse too. Maybe a couple more here. "And there shall be no more curse." Hallelujah. How many of you look forward to that day? You know, brethren, I'm not just speculating to say that the day is coming when the curse will be removed from the earth. It's not just wishful thinking on my part. It's not just when I go out to try to grow something in my garden and I find the weeds and thistles taking over and briars and things like that. That's the curse, brethren. It's not just when we come together and find that we've got sicknesses and diseases and cancers and what have you attacking us. That's part of the curse. Praise the Lord. The Word of God here in Revelation says that there will be no more curse. We can come to a place, brethren, where the curse has been removed. Now let me go on. It says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." That means their mind. How many of you know we need the name of the Lord in our mind? The name of the Lord is his nature. Amen? And we're going to have his nature in our mind. We're going to think like Christ. Amen? We're going to believe like Christ. We're going to see things like he sees them. We're going to love like Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Not like fallen man. "And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle." Change that word to lamp, because there's no such word as candle in the true Bible. It's lamp. Amen. "And they need no candle, neither light of the sun." We're not even going to need the sun anymore. Why? Amen. "For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Do you know that God is made of light? Do you realize that? He is light. Wasn't that one of the songs we were singing about the light today? Whether we were or not, I was thinking about the light. And I was thinking as we were praying for the brother today, "Lord, send the light. Send the shaft of light into that place and let the darkness flee." You know, this is why he is so pure. He is so pure. His light, the light that he is so pure that in our mortal flesh, if we were to meet him face to face, we'd be, disintegrated. I mean, gone. It would, I mean, our eyes wouldn't even be able to stand it. You know, we can't even look at somebody welding because the light is so bright. You think, well, I should be able to look at anything on this earth. No, you can't. There is light that is so bright. If you go and look at the sun on a bright day and just lay there and look at the sun, you're going to lose your eyes. It's going to burn your retina right out, the light of it.
of crystal that they looked at in a very special way. I mean,
yeah.
Huge ones,
Mark. Amen.
And that God, you know, it makes them beautiful.
Hallelujah. So let's go back to this first verse again. We're talking about the purity of the Lord. When we talk about the light, we're talking about purity. Okay? Now, we come back here. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, we already talked about water last week, but several weeks ago, and we probably already mentioned this verse. Amen. About what is the meaning of water? No, we haven't talked about water yet, have we? We're going to talk about water this time. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. So water, and we'll get to water later, but water speaks, for one thing, it has both a negative and a positive aspect. Okay? It speaks of word, the flowing of the word. The word that flows out of the devil is muddy, filthy, floody water. Okay? The water that flows from the throne of God is not like that. It's pure. Has anybody ever been in a flood or anywhere near a flood or where a flood has been and seen what it does? A flood does not bring pure water into the environment that it comes into. My goodness, I lived in Fairbanks in 1967, I think it was. It was 67. The fall of 67, when both the Tanana and the Chena rivers together, both of them that come through Fairbanks, both overflowed. And the water came up. It came right up to the second story on the downtown places. Where I lived on 18th Street, it came up 18 inches in my house. And I tell you what, it left filth, silt, mud behind. Now that's the negative side of water, okay? But this is the water from the throne of God. It's pure. It's truth. Amen? What flows from Him is crystal clear. And there's nothing hidden. You know, God has nothing to hide. How many of you know God has nothing to hide? We try to hide things. We're ashamed of things. We don't want to admit this. We don't want to reveal that. Why? Because of the darkness. Probably darkness in our own soul. We're ashamed of things. But in God, there is no hiding. Nothing is hidden. Didn't Jesus say that there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed? I'll tell you what, brethren, if there's things in us, we might just as well start revealing them to the Lord. Start with Him anyway. And start getting them taken care of. Alright, so we're talking about, we're going to talk about the trees first here. He says, in the midst of the street of it. By the way, you'll notice people talk about the streets of gold. I find only the singular word street here. What is a street? A street is a way, isn't it? How many of you know there's only one way in the Lord? There's not a multiple choice. People say, oh, there's many ways to get to the Lord. No, there aren't. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. You can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through some other belief. Allah. You cannot get there any other way except through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's only one street. Amen? And it says, and the street. Hallelujah. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now it only says the tree of life. Amen? Now how can this one tree be in all these places at once? Well, it says there was the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits. Now the word fruits is plural here. It bears 12 manner of fruits. Amen? And yielded her fruit every month. So here we go. There's 12 months, aren't there? And there's a new fruit every month. That, now, we're talking about the tree of life, aren't we? We're going to define this tree here in a little bit. And the leaves of the tree were for what purpose? The healing of the nations. How many of you know the nations need to be healed? How many of you know our nation needs to be healed? How many of you know our own personal lives need to be healed? And so if we're going to say that trees are going to be a type of man, then we're going to say that the man is for the healing of the nations. Now, we're talking about a tree, but we're also talking about trees, aren't we? First of all, singular tree, tree of life. All right? Let's go back into Genesis, if we can for a minute, and see if we can find the origin of that original tree. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Here we are, Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9. And it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food." How many of you know that trees are meant to be pleasant to our eyes? They're also meant to be good for food. Good for use. A tree that's not useful is not one that I want planted in my yard. I mean, it has to have some kind of a purpose, doesn't it? If it's not nice to look at, if it doesn't have lumber, if it doesn't grow fruit or nuts or something like that, what good is it? In other words, if it just grows thorns, I'm ready to root it out. Amen? "The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So there were two remarkable trees in the Garden of Eden. One is called the tree of life, the other is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what was the instructions that God gave to the man and the woman? He said, you can eat of any tree in the garden that you want, except, which one? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That one you're not to eat of. You're not to touch that fruit. You're not to eat of it. In the day that you eat thereof, what's going to happen? You shall surely die. Okay? So, there was one tree that was off limits. How many of you would like to have lived in the Garden of Eden? No rules. Well, oh, wait a minute. Only one rule, wasn't there? One rule and one rule only. My goodness, we live with lots of rules, don't we? You know, I'd like to live in a world where there was only one rule. And the only rule is, don't go to that tree. Now, what did that tree represent? Knowledge of good and evil. You see, they were innocent. In their innocence, they were pure. They had no sin. And therefore, they knew nothing about evil. They didn't know the difference between good and evil. As far as they were concerned, everything was good. In fact, the word good and evil in there was not even in their vocabulary. Everything was just okay. Probably to even say the word good would imply that there was something other than good. So it was just a knowledge of good and evil. And when they partook of that tree, now they had knowledge of what evil was all about. All right. Now, what God really wanted, I believe, was that they would partake of the tree of life. And I believe that that tree of life was Jesus. I believe God wanted man to partake of the life of Christ. But because they had partaken of death, they were put out of the garden, lest they come and partake of life now on top of death, and therefore they would live forever in their state of death. And so God said, no, you can't have the tree of life at this time. You're going to have to be driven out, and the way was guarded by the flaming swords. Okay? Now, we find that tree of life coming back again in the book of Revelation. Okay? The pure river of water. Amen. In the midst of the street, on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now let me go on a little bit further And I want to show you that God shows us that man also is a type of tree. Okay? Go to Psalms chapter 1. And we can just read the first three verses here, because those are the positive side of Psalms chapter 1. It's about the godly man. The other verses are about the man that is unrighteous. Okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're talking about a man here now, aren't we? Amen? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen? And he who? What kind of a man? The man that walks uprightly? This man shall be like a tree planted where? By the rivers of water. And what's the point of being planted by the rivers of water? Because he's going to have enough to drink. He's going to be where the Word of God is flowing. Amen? He's going to be where the purity is. He's going to be partaking of truth. Amen? So his roots are going to be deep, and they're going to be nurtured and succored and sustained. Even in times of drought round about him, he's going to be getting life. Amen? How many of you know that we get life from the Word?
Amen?
Amen? It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth, amen, fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Now, we talked about the leaf also over here in Revelation, didn't we? And so the leaf is also a form of an evidence of life. And the purpose of the leaves of the tree were so that others might have life and be healed. Amen? So God expects us to be green. Amen? Not shriveled up, but he expects us to be green. Amen? And showing evidence of life. Amen? His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That last line I really like. Don't you? Lord, whatever I put my hand to do, I want to prosper. Now, I'm going to prosper in that because I'm seeking the Lord. I'm not going to prosper in that just because I read about somebody else doing thus and thus. I say, well, I think I ought to do that too. I might not prosper because maybe it's not of God. So, we're talking about man being a type of a tree. Amen? Let's go to Numbers chapter 24, and we're going to see a prophecy that was given here. In Numbers, and by the way, the prophecy that I'm going to read was actually given by Balaam, and Balaam himself was a false prophet. His life was out of order. He was motivated by greed, and there was a whole lot else that was wrong in the man's life, which I don't have time to get into today. But nevertheless, the man brought forth words that were accurate. Okay? Because he got up there with the purpose of cursing Israel, but he couldn't do it. But God's words moved through his mouth. Now, that didn't make him a true prophet. He's still a false prophet. Amen? Yeah. So, here we go. Where did I say we were going in Numbers? 24, yeah. Verses 5 and 6. I'll go back to verse 4 so we can see the context here. He hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance but having his eyes open. The man was out of, he couldn't control what he was saying here. It was, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob! And thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side. Notice again the proximity to the river. The tree and the river go together. Amen? Gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lean aloes. Now that's a special kind of a tree. That's a very fragrant, beautiful tree. As the trees of Lebanon, aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. That's a picture of beauty, isn't it?
And aloe, that's a healing tree.
The aloe is a healing tree, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it heals the skin. Amen. If that's the same kind of aloes that they're talking about here, I don't know, but I'm sure it's a healing tree. The cedar is a very stately tree. It's spoken of as being one of the most mighty. I have a feeling these cedar trees were something like the redwood trees. That's what I have a feeling. And you know, I think they just about destroyed all the cedar trees over there in Lebanon. I don't know if there's any more of them left. They made boats out of them, yeah. So let me go on here. We got a lot of material to go through. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. We're looking at how man is a type of a tree here. Okay? We know that the Lord is a picture of the tree of life, but man also is a type of tree. I said we were going to Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, if you want to limit your understanding to natural things, you can. Okay? You can see mountains and hills breaking forth into singing. But you can also say that there's a spiritual picture here. And I'll limit this to the trees here. Trees clapping their hands. I think we're talking about a type of man. Mighty men. Trees. Mighty men clapping their hands. Mighty women and men of God clapping their hands. Jesus told them one time, he said when he was riding into Jerusalem, and some of the religious people didn't like what was going on, tell them to stop. And he said, if they stop praising me, how did he say it? The stones will come out and praise me. Amen. So, amen. All nature is going to praise the Lord. Go over to the 61st chapter of Isaiah while we're here in Isaiah, just two more pages over. Verse 3. Isaiah 61. And I'm going to go back to verse 1 to get the picture here. This is, by the way, the passage that the Lord read. I think it's in the 4th chapter of Luke, where he got up in the synagogue that day. And by the way, they didn't like it when he got up and read this passage. This is the day they were going to throw him over the hill. Amen? But it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness, that they might be called what? Trees of righteousness. How many of you want to be called trees of righteousness? Yes. Amen? No, not weeds of righteousness. Amen? Trees of righteousness. Not even a vine of righteousness, but trees. Upright. Trees are upright. Vines creep along on the ground, you know, and they have to be held upright, but trees are upright in their own nature. Amen? Hallelujah. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. There again is that word, the planting of the Lord. The Lord's planting these trees that He might be glorified. Hallelujah. So, Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 17. We'll just move along through the Old Testament here a little bit. Trees have roots, and the roots go deep. Yes. Amen. And we have to be rooted and grounded in the Word of the Lord. Rooted and grounded in the Word of faith. Rooted and grounded in the message that God is giving us in this day and in this hour. Chapter 17 of Jeremiah. go to verse 7 and 8. Or Ezekiel. Yeah, I'm sorry, I said Jeremiah, I meant Ezekiel. 17, verse 7 and 8. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, the vine did bend her roots toward him and shoot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it with the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, and that it might be a godly vine. Here we're talking about a vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall not be in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. We're talking about man again. Amen? Hallelujah. He's talking, the word of the Lord came in the beginning of this chapter. Speak, put forth a riddle. Speak a parable unto the house of Israel. Amen. So he's talking about the house of Israel here. Now, still in Ezekiel, here we are. This is the verse I was looking for. You know what? I got into the wrong verses. Forgive me, brethren. Verses 22 and 24. Here's the ones I wanted. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it up. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. So here's the planning of the Lord now. Amen. He's going to take a branch from the cedar tree. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. I think he's talking about the Lord, isn't he? Amen. And it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. God's talking about men again, isn't he? Amen. So, now in Ezekiel again, chapter 31, and here he's talking about Egypt, the men of Egypt, and he's talking, relating to them also as a tree. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here. Egypt cut down like Assyria. The whole chapter is going on and on about that again. Let's move on to Daniel. I just want to point that out to you, that again he's referring, the whole chapter here of 31st Ezekiel is about trees.
In Ezekiel, in the book, he prophesied of this tree in the river in chapter 47.
Yeah. Even in chapter 47. Let's go there if you want. What verse did you have there, Larry?
Well, it starts in verse 12.
Start in verse 12, yeah. And we won't read the whole thing, but let's just read this verse 12 here. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, and on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat. By the way, this is talking about the millennium, I believe. This is the future temple, all right? And it's going to include trees, men who are trees, brethren. Amen? Bearing fruit. How many of you know we're expected to bear fruit? You know what happens when the tree doesn't bear fruit? What happened to that olive tree that wasn't bearing fruit when Jesus came and he expected fruit on that tree? He said, you're done for. you're not going to fool me and be green with leaves and not bear fruit. If you're going to have life, you're going to have fruit that's going to come forth. Amen? And by the river, we read in verse 12 again of 47 Ezekiel, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade. How many of you would like to see a whole year where the leaves don't fade? Oh my, I'd like a whole winter like that. Green trees. Hallelujah. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. That sounds like Revelation, doesn't it? Amen. Yeah, thank you for adding that to it. Daniel chapter 4. Now, this whole, again, I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but this is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a mighty tree. Amen? And the tree, verse 11 here, the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And then it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. So Nebuchadnezzar himself and his kingdom was mighty. It was like a mighty, mighty tree. Seen, and the influence of that tree went to the ends of the earth. Amen? Nevertheless, he said in verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and a holy one came down from heaven. Amen. Sounds like there was a visitation from God upon this tree. Amen. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth. Well, we know the story of this, how one day in his pride, Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his, Daniel gave him the interpretation, he told him what was going to happen. One day he was walking proudly in his palace and he said, is not this the work of my mighty hand? He became proud, he became arrogant, and he expressed his pride and arrogance. And what happened? The mind of a beast came into him. And he began to think like a cow. He began to go out into the field and eat grass, and the hair of his body grew like feathers on a bird, you know, and his nails grew like claws of a bird, and till 7 years passed over him, and finally the man acknowledged that the Lord God was great and mighty. Here's a man had a serious mental breakdown, didn't he? But it was for the glory of God. Amen. And finally the man acknowledged that it wasn't by his hand, but it was by the hand of God that all these things were done. Jeremiah.
So how do you interpret that stump?
Well, God allowed the man to come back. Yeah, he grew back. He left enough. Certain kinds of trees, that if you leave the stump, they'll grow back. I had a nice Colorado blue spruce in the front of the house. And just the year before we moved into the house, we were working on it. The Christmas before, the Christmas spirit got a hold of somebody, and they came right into the yard and cut the tree down. Took the blue spruce. But they left a couple of little branches growing off the stump. And I said, well, all is not lost. I found the best branch and left it, and I cut the others off. This is way down here on the ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry about this. And do you know what? That tree is now higher than the house. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there are some trees that will come back. You go cut a big oak tree down or a big maple tree, and it probably won't come back. But some of them will. The evergreens, some of them will. Okay, where were we going next? We're going to Jeremiah chapter 17.
Daniel 4.
I'm just kind of summarizing here about Nebuchadnezzar, that he was likened unto a tree, okay? And the tree was cut down, the watchers, the Holy One came from heaven, gave the prophecy, Daniel told him what was going to happen, and apparently he didn't believe it, but it definitely did happen. Hallelujah. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And again, I'm going to go quickly because this is so much like Psalm number 1. It's almost like he was reading Psalm when he wrote this here. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. So here again we're talking about man as a tree. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. There's the tree, there's the roots, there's the river, isn't it? Amen? There's the source of life that tree has, is the Word. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I think that's enough to read on that. And then he goes on to the wicked, which is the other side of the coin. Okay? Matthew chapter 7, we'll get into the New Testament here a little bit. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them, how? By their fruits. Fruit is the evidence, right? What is fruit, really? It's not just the deeds, is it? Not just the good things that they do. You can do a lot of good deeds and have bad fruit. Fruit is the character. So you're going to be known by the character that you are. Amen? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, the fruit is going to be in the same character as the type of the tree. Okay? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. In the end, the character is going to be revealed. You can fool people for a while, but not forever. Amen? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? Is hewn down and cast into the fire. In other words, it's going to come under judgment. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. We're talking about men as trees now here again, aren't we? Amen? While we're still in Matthew, go to chapter 12. Verses 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The heart is the tree. It's the nature of the tree. Out of that heart is going to come forth the fruit. Amen? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be judged, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How many of you know we ought to watch our mouth? Amen? And how do we cure our mouth? By asking for the nature of Jesus Christ in the inward man. Otherwise, it's still going to slip out. You know these politicians, they try to be so careful about what they say. But when they're not watching and somebody's got a recorder on, something slips out. What? It's their character. Just listen, yeah. When they don't think the recorder is turned on. Amen. So, and I mentioned chapter 21 of Matthew, and again, this was the story of where he cursed the fig tree. I'll just mention it here in chapter 21, 18. Now in the morning as he returned unto the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?
Amen.
And so, again, it isn't just enough to have a show. All right, there has to be some fruit to back it up. The tree had a good show. It looked like a fruitful tree. And how many of you know the Lord expects fruit? He expects something out of us. He expects productivity from us. We cannot just go on and be a leech to the body of Christ and just be a taker, 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 taker. God wants us to be a giver. Amen? It's more blessed to give than to receive, isn't it? But it's okay to receive if you need to. But God expects production out of us. Amen.
Every branch that bears not fruit is cut off. So
cut off, yes.
It was actually in the vine at one time.
Was there at one time, but not anymore. Now let's go down to Revelation here for a minute. In chapter 2 and in verse 7. This is the overcomer, the message to Ephesus. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The overcomer is going to get to partake of the life of Christ in the midst of paradise. How many of you want to be in paradise? Amen. Oh yes, I want to be there too. Chapter 7. Again, we're talking about men as trees, the first three verses in chapter 7 of Revelation. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor upon the sea, nor on any tree. Okay, we probably read this verse before. We're talking about earth, sea, and tree. What are the three things that we're talking about here? Earth is what? Earth is the carnal realm, okay? It could be carnal Christians. Sea is what? The unredeemed masses of the world. And tree is the strong Christian. Amen? The one with much life, the one that is upright, okay? And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt what? The earth and the sea. And so the harm was going to come to the earth, which is the carnal realm, including the carnal Christian, and to the world. But, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So I would take it that the trees are going to be sealed. But he had the power to hurt the earth and the sea by the judgment. Come over again into chapter 9. We'll see something very similar. And we'll go to the first four verses here. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. We know a star is one who was a bright one in God at one time. Amen? Here's one that fell. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. We're talking about earth here again. Alright? Now, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So here they were not even allowed to touch the weak Christian, grass. Grass is a weaker, there's life there, but it's not very strong. A little bit of drought comes along, the grass withers. But the tree is not as apt to wither. Why? Because its roots go down. Its roots are by the waters of life. So, I just brought that verse to show you. Now, back to where we started again in the 22nd chapter. And we'll look at one other verse over here in verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Here's the reward of the overcomer again. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. How many of you want to be in that city? Amen? You may not think you like city life, but this is the city life that I'm going to like. Amen? It's the city of the living God. It's made up of men. It's made up of houses. Amen? It's made up of tabernacles. It's made up of trees. Amen? All life. Okay, now let's look at grass. Okay? Psalm 37. Go back to Psalm here for a minute. Here we are, Psalm 31, verses 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. What are we talking about here now? We're not talking about blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the of righteousness now, are we? Okay? We're talking about the other side of the coin here. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The green herb is another form of grass. Just a little plant. As soon as it's cut, it withers. Nothing to it. Okay? So we see that grass is completely something different than trees, isn't it? In its stature, the amount of life that it has. Psalm 92. We'll pick a few of them here out of Psalm. Psalm 92. David apparently understood this principle quite well here. 92 verse 7. Let's go to verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Have you ever seen wickedness flourish like grass? Comes up awful fast, doesn't it? I tell you, there's things in my lawn that all it's going to do is the snow is gone, and they'll be green the next day. I don't know how they make it through the dandelions, for instance. There they are. They're under the snow, and a little sunshine comes on them. There they are. They pop right up. I tell you, I've been above the Arctic Circle, and I've been up on these mountains up in Alaska. You get way up on these mountains, little green things growing up there and having flowers up there. Amazing. But you know what? Just as quickly and just as easily, they're gone. And the Lord is saying, this is the way it is with wickedness. You know, wicked politicians, they're on the scene one day. Boy, they look like they got lots of life. Look around, everything's green, you know. Just like that, they're gone. The Lord can eliminate it. So David is saying, don't fret about them. Don't worry about them. They go just as quick as they come. They're not like trees. Don't worry about these wicked people that spring up overnight and seem to have all kinds of power. They're going to be gone. Hallelujah. Okay, chapter 40. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back here, back up to chapter 40 again. And we're going to see grass again. People, a type of grass. I should have gone in order here. Verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Now, did I get the wrong one? I must have got the wrong one here. There's nothing about trees in this passage. I'm sorry, I wrote the wrong one down here somewhere. 51. Let's go to 51. And verse... Well, I'm not doing too good with these last two passages in Psalms. I don't know. My pen was not writing the right thing here. Let's go to Malachi. The last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 4 and the first three verses. For behold, the day cometh, shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be as what? Stubble. Stubble is what? What's left of grass after you cut it. or it could be grain crops, but the grain crop is a type of grass, okay? After the fruit is harvested off, there's stubble left. And stubble isn't of much use, is it? Amen? Yeah, it's a type of straw, all right? The wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. Amen? It says that day of the Lord shall burn as an oven. So that means that the trials that are coming upon the earth, the wicked are not going to make it through. They're going to be burned up. But the righteous are going to make it through. How many of you know that we have a covenant with the Lord that we're going to make it through? Amen? Amen? The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So if you've got no root left, you know there's certain things that grow from the roots. Have you noticed that these wild berries, blackberries, raspberries, this type of thing, you cut them right down. And including grass. You know how grass grows back up? Because the root is filled down there under the ground. And when the heat of the sun comes, the blade comes right back up again. But unto you that fear my name, amen, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, we're going to walk on the places where all this powerful grass was growing one day, and now it's nothing but ash. There will be no remnant of the life of wickedness there. Again, we'll be walking on that ground. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. It's probably the same one we read here just a little bit ago. 9, verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, in Revelation chapter 8, there's another verse in verse 7. Okay? And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire. This is the first trumpet. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth. Okay? And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So some of the strong ones are apparently going to be taken too. Not all, just some, but all the green grass, which is again the weak ones, were going to be taken by this. Okay? Now, that's about all I have about grass. Let's look at waters. Okay? We need to understand what waters are, what the spiritual understanding of waters is. Revelation chapter 17, I think we get a good picture here. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So what does this waters represent here? It represents masses of people, unredeemed people. And the great whore, of course, we should probably understand the meaning of the word whore, the word harlot. A harlot is a woman, okay? A woman is a church. A whore is an unfaithful woman. So this is an unfaithful religion. It's an unfaithful church, a church that is no longer faithful to the Lord. In other words, it's a false system of religion. It's a great whore. And she encompasses great masses of people. There's many, many people that are involved in this religion. Okay? Now, she sits upon many waters, it says. Now let's look over in the 15th verse, I think of the same chapter here. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest. Here's the interpretation. We don't have to guess at what it means. The interpretation is right here. The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, it's the world. It's the world religion. The religion of the world. And you know that there's the world, this whore is going to demand that she be given the opportunity of representing all the world with her religion. She's going to make that claim, and she's going to take that claim. But we're not going to be part of it, brethren. We're not going to yield to that. Praise the Lord. Now, so, there's a positive side of this water. Okay, I gave you a negative side of these waters being many, many people, but there's a positive side, which is the Word, the Spirit, and the Word. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 5. Gospel of John. Jesus answered, now he's talking to Nicodemus here, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we know that he's not talking about natural water, don't we? Born of water. You need to be born of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God. So the Word and the Spirit go together here. If you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you're not born again. You can't just be born again by an intellectual debate where you lost the debate and you came to realize, well, okay, I lost the debate, you won the argument, so I guess, okay, so I'll accept whatever you're saying. That doesn't make you born again. It's the Word of God that does it, quickened by the life of the Spirit. And that's what I received when I was born again. I came under conviction by the Spirit of God because the Word had been planted in me and the Word was working and working and working by the Spirit in me. Hallelujah. And I knew that if I didn't respond to that, my place in eternity was not going to be a pleasant one. Whatever motivated me, that was sufficient to do it. Now, in chapter 4, we have water again. Jesus comes to the well in Samaria, and he's waiting at that well, and a woman comes up. Chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, sister, would you bring me that little water thing there? I need a little drink in my... Get my throat getting kind of dry here. I'm sorry. He said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, was he talking about the water in the well? No. Did she understand that right away? No. Why? Because she was still thinking on a natural level. She was not thinking spiritual things. Okay? So let me go on here a little bit. We'll go down to verse 14. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She said, I don't see a rope in your hand. I don't see a bucket on the end of the rope. How in the world are you going to get down into that well and get that water out of there? Living water. She liked the idea. She liked the term, living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The water down there in that well, you're going to have to come back again tomorrow. You're going to run out. And you're going to get thirsty. And you're going to have to keep coming back. But, amen? But, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What is he talking about? The word of life, isn't it? The word quickened by the spirit of life that Jesus can give. He gives that kind of water. Amen. So this is the positive side of water. John is full of this water. The Gospel of John, we could go other places, but let's go to chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What is he offering them? Life. Life of Christ. Come into me. Come to me. I am the source of life. I am the source of water. I'll quench your thirst. You know, people of the world have thirst for all kinds of things, don't they? My goodness, some of them have thirst for big motorcycles and big trucks and big this and big that and another fancy house and, you know, power and prestige. And they thirst for all kinds of things. Some of the things they lust for. But they don't satisfy, do they? When it's all done, it really didn't satisfy. Amen? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, he's not just going to give you something that's going to quench your thirst. He's going to give you the source of it. Such that if you have it, it'll flow out of you too. You can be like Christ. Other people can drink of you and be satisfied. Not the you, not the Adam you, but the Christ you. Amen? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So we're talking about the Holy Ghost here, aren't we? Amen. Now, go over to chapter 15. I'll tell you, John had an understanding of this water. I like John. Why don't I just start with verse 1, and we'll just go down through verse 3 here. Okay, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. How many of you know we can't get by not bearing fruit? Branch is going to be taken away. You ever seen God take branches away? They don't bear fruit. That's what he does. He takes them away. You wonder where they went. God took them away. Amen? No, he's not satisfied with a little bit of fruit either. Bear a little bit of fruit, you get pruned a little bit more. Amen? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean. Clean means what? Purged, doesn't it? It means that you've been pruned pretty good. Now are you clean through what? Through the word that I have spoken unto you. So in other words, you've had the washing of the water of the word upon you, and it's clean, it's cleansed you, hasn't it? Let's go to Ephesians 5, and we'll see another picture of this. Cleansing by the word, Ephesians 5, 26. I'll read 25. Ephesians 5, I'll start in 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. There'd be probably about a whole lot less divorce if husbands loved their wives as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The washing of the water by the word. Now, we get over into Revelation again. I want to show you something about the negative side of that word, because it is mentioned in the word. Revelation chapter 12, this is the dragon. He's angry. He was not able to get the woman. Let's start in verse 13 and we'll work our way down a few verses here. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Now this is a symbolic word here now. Woman is church. Amen. Wings of the great eagle is Jesus. Amen. Wilderness, not a pleasant place to be. Alright? A place of some tribulation. Into her place where she is nourished. That's very positive though. In the midst of tribulation, the woman church is going to be nourished. Amen. I believe the man child is going to have a part in nourishing that woman church. Amen. For a time and times and half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. So she's going to be protected from the devil. Amen. And the serpent cast out of his mouth, what comes out of the mouth? Words. Curses. Cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So he wanted to destroy this woman church. He couldn't get at the man child because he didn't have the power anymore to do so. But he thought, well, I'll get the woman church. And no, it says, and the earth helped the woman. The carnal realm helped the woman. In other words, the carnal realm took the blunt of Satan's accusation. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that would be the man-child, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's negative aspect of the word. One more aspect in Jude, and this will be the last verse that we'll give here today. Jude, verse 12 and 13. Now we're talking about people that are in church here, but who are not walking after God's ways. That's what this is about here. Start in verse 11 here. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. We already introduced Mr. Balaam here earlier. Ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. You know, there's people in church that are running after reward. They want money. They're motivated by it. Trying to market the gifts. Okay? Perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, here's what Jude says about these people. He says, these are spots in your feast. This is not a good spot, by the way. This is a dirty spot on your white garment. Okay, these are spots in your feet, hidden reefs or stains. Okay, in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. A lot of show, but they don't produce anything. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. So here's the kind of tree they are. They were a type of tree. They presented themselves in such a manner. But whatever fruit they had is gone. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Twice dead. Listen to that. Twice dead. How do you get twice dead? You started off dead, had a little life, died out. Gone. Raging waves of the sea. Here's another type of water again here that foaming out their own shame. See, this is the waves of the sea. This is the world blown about by every wind, making foaming up dirt and filth, okay? Foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They even have a type of stardom. They must be famous. They're known by some. Amen. Well, that's about all I have. This should give us a taste of how to understand spiritual things. There's a whole lot more. Maybe some other day we go through some of these other words. But I think you've got a pretty good picture of what most of these things mean. And I trust that you've been blessed by this. The Lord bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you be with each one today that has heard this word.